Talking Women, of which here on SAFM each and every weekday we talk about women and women's issues and interests and all sorts of things. And don't forget, if you've got interests or issues that you'd like to bring up, and we really are the platform for you, you can pop us an email or at otherwise@safm.co.za, otherwise@safm.co.za. What we thought we'd do here in October, this month in which education is always a big thing right here in this country, but in particular we thought we'd focus on women's education. And today we're looking at gender studies. What is or what are gender studies exactly? Well, many universities, institutes of higher learning have a dedicated department. And focusing even more closely, the one at the University of Cape Town is called the African Gender Institute, which in its 12-year history has become globally recognised, which is a very good thing. So to tell us a little bit more about what they are looking at, on the line we have Associate Professor, she's Jane Bennett, Head of Department, and in the African Gender Institute she's responsible for many things, for teaching undergraduate and postgraduate courses, postgraduate supervision, research development, networking, research and publication, and she's the convener of core programs, so she has her work cut out for her. Nonetheless, she's given us some time, and Professor Jane Bennett, are you there?
Hi, Nancy. Yes, thank you so much for having me on your program.
You know, I've long wanted to talk about gender studies because it's one of those things that you think, oh yes, it's the Department of Gender Studies. Exactly what are gender studies, and is it something that's new as an area of study, or has it been going for many years, perhaps under a different name?
Well, the first place I would want to start is through your own introduction. You said that you're really interested in education and you're thinking about women's education, and I think that's a fantastic focus. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about the relationship between being a woman, being a girl, and being educated. But I did feel a little bit of a fraud because, of course, the area known as gender studies isn't, in fact, something that's specifically targeted towards offering education to women. And in fact, the classes that we run have a fairly healthy percentage of people gendered as men.
Yeah. If I could just defend ourselves, Jane, because when we decided to go this route, I said, let's look at education and women broadly. We could spend, you know, many, many programs devoting ourselves exclusively to educating women, which is a huge, hugely important thing. But we wanted to look at the broader aspect, which is why...
Oh, yes. No. This isn't about a critique or asking you for a defense. It's more about raising, you know, starting off by raising not your misapprehension, but a general misapprehension.
Okay.
That, in fact, the area known as gender studies, sometimes known as women and gender studies, sometimes known as gender and sexuality studies, and there's a history to those changes. But that area is, in fact, only about women and only for women. And I guess that's the first thing that I wanted to say, that as an area of study, what we do is explore various institutions, organizations, cultural relations to political space, political dynamics, political work, political ideas, and we do that by going in through what some people would describe as the lens of gender. In other words, we go into areas such as law, for example, by prioritizing the idea that within our societies, and differently within different societies, the politics of becoming gendered, or the processes of becoming gendered, are so fundamental to the ways in which humanity and community are organized, that if you go in that route, very quickly you find yourself surfacing issues and challenges that allow you to pose problems and imagine solutions through research, through activism, very fast. In other words, the idea of gender studies is to find a route into thinking about power and society in a way that is very accessible quite a lot of time and space, and it works very, very well. And somebody who starts out with a set of theories that are premised on what it means to understand gender as a politics will very quickly find themselves having to understand, in this context, race and class, perhaps in a context in India, for example, issues of caste or religion, and that will move into questions of transport, questions of the structure of the economy, questions of the shape of the law, questions of the meaning of the relationship between the scientifically imagined body and cultural norms about embodiment. So we see it as a very exciting area that allows people, as I say, to move quite fast into some of the most challenging and complex areas that we need to think through in the country, but also globally. And people are often very surprised. I mean, we have very big classes, and sometimes people just come into them as a filler, or, you know, they've got a complicated curriculum and somebody just says, oh, go into this one, and they just pick it up. And they're often astonished, both by the level of difficulty that they encounter and by the levels of fascination that every year some of our majors will say to us, quite frankly, you know, we didn't expect to like this, we didn't expect to enjoy it, and now it's all we can think about. So, I mean, obviously that doesn't happen for everybody, but, and that goes to an answer to your second question, you know, is it something that's been around for a while? And the answer, or is it completely new to people?
Yes.
And the answer is yes and no. In some ways it is completely new, but that's because high school, secondary school curriculum, and even early childhood education, primary education, which could be picking up some of the topics we engage with in a different way, in a different style, they don't. So that by the time people are 19 and 20, they have in fact learned, just by the process of being alive and being smart and being engaged, they've learned a great deal about the meaning of gender. They, A, don't know that they know it, and B, often have learned it in a way which doesn't allow them critique or choice. So it's a question both of unlearning and learning. And we want to offer the university intellectually boundaried and structured space for discussing issues which actually usually get discussed outside the formal education space, but all the time. You know, what's going on in your relationship? What's the meaning of parenthood? Why is there so much violence? You know, what am I going to wear? You know, these are all questions that involve an understanding of gender, but they happen in your gossip and in your friendship conversation.
Yes.
And we just want to offer a space in which people can work, yes, with their own experience and ideas, but also with the theories and writings and sometimes visual material of other people.
It's how you talk about it being through the lens of gender. I mean, it sounds like a very wide-angled lens. It sounds like it's almost like a little sort of creative hub where everything can go in and a bit like a washing machine, be sort of moved around and come out sort of clean and fresh with a whole lot of new things attached to it. So I know that part of what you do there is research-based, and I can't help feeling that there must be many people, not least perhaps our very own Ministry of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, who would come to you for certainly to do some research or for some different thinking or even for advice. Do you find a lot of people?
Yes, we do. Across the university, we're not unusual because, of course, this happens to people who work in law or people who work in the School of Business Studies or people who work in health sciences. You know, there certainly are people based in a fairly elite setting. I mean, we are an elite setting, and which means that people come to us from a very privileged minority, which is not to say that they haven't fought. They fought really, really hard to get here, and we wish that, I mean, many of us in the university fight very hard for that fight to be less difficult and to open up spaces. But my point is that university-based people are often seen as resources for people working outside the space, from government or from NGOs. ask the meaning of a word or to solve a crossword clue. But we find that we're quite unusually placed in our own faculty as being a space that people do expect to turn to for certain kinds of resources. And we do quite a lot of consultancy that's very rarely paid. In fact, it's not paid. It wouldn't be allowed to be paid. But
and our own ministry of women, children, people with disabilities, do they consult with you at all?
Some individuals within the ministry have, yes, indeed. But it's other ministries as well. The Ministry of Transport, for example, the Ministry of Social Development. And we work across the continent. Both I and my colleagues, I think some of whom you've met, Yaliwe Clark,
yes,
for example, travel quite extensively across the continent to respond to certain kinds of requests for
So clearly you cover many areas, literally and geographically, but I just wanted to come to the African aspect because there are so many different countries. I was just reading there about Jakarta in Indonesia,
mm-hmm.
You know, how many sort of recorded incidents of violence against women there are and so on and so forth. But I'm not drawing attention to rape or violence against
mm-hmm.
women, but I'm just thinking of how things are different and yet so very much the same for women in different countries.
Mm.
Do you find that there are threads that, because you work with many different universities all across the world as well as just in Africa, do you find that there are more similarities? Are you struck by the differences? Do you have to put your head on differently when you're working with another gender department from another country?
I think you have to be very alert to the possibility of difference from what you're expecting yourself. But that alertness is a skill. It's an emotional skill as well as an intellectual skill. It's something we take very seriously, and we try to teach it. So yes, in fact, there may well be very, very serious differences, even in something as straightforward as permission to discuss, for example, a link between religion and homosexuality. You know, it would very much depend on where you were, you know, in a gender studies department as to what kinds of permission would be available to you to discuss that as intellectual concerns, never mind political and activist concerns. But at the same time, you're likely to discover that because there's such constrained space around talking about becoming gendered, around thinking about the ways in which colonialism might have impacted that. The people are very, I'm talking about the continent, that's why I say colonialism, people get excited. So the similarities tend to be much more in the degree of enthusiasm. Researchers, writers, students, people in NGOs, even policy developers have for rethinking about an issue when you offer a new panorama. It's not that you're going to be finding that all people gendered the same way across the continent are experiencing common realities. They're certainly not.
Yeah. Just two, briefly, in the short time we have left, just two things. You said that it's not certainly not exclusively the domain of women, so it's a very well balanced institute. But the people who come end up doing what with what they've learned? And if you're able to squeeze in also, you mentioned the word activist there. I was going to say, is part of your remit to lobby? And the word gender and lobbying sort of kind of go together, or gender and activism?
No, not, we don't. If by lobbying you mean political lobbying, the answer is no. We expressly don't do that. In other words, we might give a submission to a committee on a particular bill, but we wouldn't be, as the African Gender Institute, lobbying for a particular change because we are a department in a university that's undergoing some change. But departments don't have individual rights to lobby. But we would have that right as individual members of the department, and certainly I would work with some organizations, Yaliwe or Helen Scanlon or Adeline Africa. Africa, or Selina Mudavanu might work with others, but that doesn't preclude us from doing certain kinds of activist work, and that's activism both within the campus environment but beyond it. We take the need, the principle of engaging with people outside our own departmental space very, very, very seriously, and see many of them as having much more expertise in some of the questions we're interested in than we do.
Very, very briefly, the people, sorry, I know that there's so much to say, but the people who come to you do what with what they have learned with you? Excuse me, is there any way in which people can get in touch with you if they would like to know a little bit more about your courses?
We have a very active website, which can be found through the UCT main website, uct.ac.za, and then look for African Gender Institute. People do a vast range of things. They move into international NGO work, they become researchers, they draw on their expertise in gender to become better lawyers, better doctors, better poets.
On that very appropriate note, we're going to leave it at that. Associate Professor Jane Bennett, Head of Department at the African Gender Institute. How fascinating. And I've no doubt that we'll hear more from the Gender Institute over the months and years to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Otherwise.